Hello, everybody. Today I have the chance to talk with Steve Maggiora from Robert John and the Wreck. Hi, Steve.
Hello.
How are you doing?
Thanks for having me. I'm good.
Yeah.
Enjoying the beautiful weather in Paris here.
Yeah, you're in France.
Beautiful.
Yes. And for a European tour.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. And my first question was just before talking about your brand new album named Shine a Light on Me, Brother. What is the first song that you heard when you were a kid and gave you immediately this passion for music?
Oh man, that's a great question. I can't recall what specific song it was. My dad is a musician as well. So I grew up going to his gigs. And you know, so I from the time that I was in diapers to, you know, all throughout high school and even now he's still playing. You know, just watching what got me was seeing the joy in people's faces and how they could control a room with music. And really just bring joy to people of all ages. And that's what really hooked me on getting into music.
Yeah, because you're from California, South California.
I am, yes.
Yeah. And concerning the hit single, Oh Miss Carolina, how did you deal with it? Because fame can be a cage sometimes for singers and bands.
Mm-hmm. We're stoked that everybody's listening to it. We're beyond excited and thrilled and humbled and honored that, you know, that song has really gotten us to a new level, you know. We're really happy that it resonated with everybody as much as it did, and we hope that continues with the new record.
For sure. I wish you the best, for sure.
And
about your brand new album, we can feel lots of different feelings. It seems to be that the lockdown has marked you a lot, maybe because the day, months after this one has never been so uncertain.
Yeah, the lockdown was tough, man, for all of us.
For everybody, everywhere.
Nobody knew how long it was going to last. And for some people, it's still going. You know, we have friends out in Australia that are still locked down. We're locked down again. And it's tough, man. And we decided early on that we were going to keep finding a way to get together and practice and write. And, you know, that the way that we facilitated that changed many times over the course of the last 2 years. But it's it's nobody saw it coming, but it, you know, it gave us an opportunity to really band together and focus on putting our feelings and emotions into lyrics and melodies and sharing that with one another. And, you know, for me, it was songwriting is always very therapeutic and very intimate, you know, and I think we came out with something great. Out of all that darkness, we found a little bit of light.
Yeah. And how did you meet together with the rest of the band?
Physically?
Yeah.
Or
yes, yeah, so the first time you met?
Oh, like back in the day.
Yeah,
I met Robert through another friend of mine's band that. They were playing shows in Southern California and Robert was opening up for them and they were opening up for Robert in certain occasions and stuff. And then one day, he needed somebody to back him up and my name came up and been playing with them ever since. And the rest of the guys in the band I met through Robert or the Orange County music scene in Southern California, which is just a wonderful place for, especially when we were starting, for emerging bands and first time bands and stuff, that, you know, everybody was very supportive of each other. There was very healthy competition going on at shows and to get bigger shows and venues, and there'd be multiple genre bills. You'd have a hard rock band with a country project with the reggae project all on the same lineup, And, you know, the energy was just fantastic. So.
And to be exact, you play with Toto during many sessions on many albums and live sessions too.
I have done one show, and that show turned into the live record that was released back in June.
Yeah.
But yeah, I will be touring with them. I'm very excited to be touring with them in the U.S. and next year, and also in Europe next year, which I know that there's some dates online for next year already for both Toto and Robert John Rex future tours. So it's going to be great. I'm just basically going to ping pong back and forth between tours. I'm very excited.
Amazing.
It's going to be, it's going to be fun.
And about Desert Sun, personally felt this song as the iconic song from the Eagles with sadness, hope, and love.
Thank
for
you.
The,
yeah.
For me, it's everybody.
We love that song, man. That one, Henry brought that one to the table. He came over to my place and was working on it for himself. And his own songwriting, and we ended up cutting a demo of it just in my room, in my home studio, and played it for the band. And Robert was like, "Yeah, we have to put this on the album. This is great." So it's an amazing song, and I love what we did with it. Very very thankful to Henry for bringing that one in.
Adam Maria, you thought that this song was tough to be an acoustic one. We can find your will to place acoustical moments, but at the end, this is not really some full acoustic songs. This is strange, no?
I think we really try to just give the songs what they need, production-wise. So I think the original intention was to have Anna Maria be a more of an acoustic driven song. But I really love what we did with the production between our drummer, Andrew Spatman, and our co-producer, Jeff Frickman. Everything that was added to it, I think really just helped deliver the song. And I think it turned into something really wonderful that might not have, you know, held up as well if it was just solely acoustic, you know. But that's the fun thing about these records, is that we can put on it whatever we want to, you know. And that's one of the beautiful things about producing our own material, is that it's like, yeah, let's try it, let's throw in a mellotron flute there and some mellotron strings, and I'm like, yeah, let's, all right, cool, like, let's what else do we want to see? Okay, no, that's too much, let's dial that back, let's mute that out, let's add this that in there. And Andrew, our drummer, just has a really wonderful ability to see the big picture and see the finished product before it's done. So we rely on him very heavily in the recording process and especially like recording and mixing process and writing process, just to be the big picture guy, you know?
Yeah. I think about that because Bruce Springsteen, during a long time, has had a problem with acoustic song. We all can remember an MTV Plugged record from him. Could you so record a complete full acoustic record in the future?
Yeah, we've been talking about that for a long time. I think it's just a matter of time. To be honest, you know, between the touring and doing the one record every year that we already do, it doesn't leave that much extra time to be able to do it. But yeah, I'd love to do an acoustic record. I'd love to do, you know, even if it's just an acoustic live record, or, you know, filming a whole show, do two nights someplace and just go for it and pick the best of each night, you know. I think that'd be incredible. We've always done different configurations for different venues and stuff, like, you know, Robert, Andrew, and I have gone and done, you know, trio stuff and played the band songs to, you know, maybe get our foot in the door for a venue before back in the States. And Robert and I, you know, we, even before the band, we were doing duo gigs and everything. And it's, it's fun, man. And it's, and it's cool to be able to just think on the fly. And, you know, you have your limitations, but you get to do something beautiful with it every time.
Yeah.
And that's always very exciting. You know, we love doing everything with the full regalia, obviously, but it's sometimes it's nice to be, you know, have like a Lowry organ or a Wurlitzer organ or something and an acoustic guitar and be like, how do we make this work? You know?
Yes. We there is a lot of freedom in your songs too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think that stems from that they're good songs. In my personal opinion, I feel that any truly good song you could do in any configuration, any style, any genre, and it'll still hold up. You know, you could do it a cappella, you know, with, you know, a bunch of monks, you know, or you could do it with an army of bagpipes and it would still be fantastic. So.
Huh. And about the song Brother, you talk about someone close to you who are in difficult minds moments. You are very aware about all the things, bad or good, that we can find on your way during our life. You take care of your friends and people around you. Can we name your state of mind as a kind of militant for a better life for everyone?
Sorry, can you say that last part one more time?
You take care of your friends and people around you.
Mm-hmm.
And can we name your state of mind as a kind of a militant for a better life for everyone?
Yeah. Yes, I think that we that song in particular, you know, it comes from a very personal place, and we wanted to be able to say the hard things as well as the good things, and to, you know, not have often there's a stigma around mental illness and you know, everybody goes through tough times, especially with COVID. You know, everybody's mental state was tested and some more than others. And there's a line that I just love in that, you know, it's.
Yeah, people are very confused.
Brother, my brother, you'll rise above, your muses haven't given up. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, we're here, you know, and like, that's, I feel like the more we can remove the stigma around talking about things and really get to the heart of it and know that it's just, everybody's just people are people. Uh-huh. And they go through, you know, some people go through difficult times more than others. Uh-huh. And it's nothing to be ashamed of. And it's nothing to be, you know, afraid to talk about or bring up. It's real and it's happening. And,
Sure.
You know, and we're here, you know, and just to encourage people to not be afraid to reach out and be able to have the hard conversations and stuff, you know, because at the end of the day, we're each other is all we got.
Yeah.
You know.
So. Sure. And in radio, you talk about the business of the music industry. You produce your own records like many other singers and bands all around the world. Is that the solution to fight against this system? Because in the same time, you are on Spotify.
Yeah, I feel like Spotify is kind of a necessary evil. It's not...
More than Apple? Music?
Yeah. I mean, at the end of the day, we want people to hear our music and for it to be accessible to them. Mm. You know, I wish that, you know, everybody could have just, you know, a bank account that's just set up for them that they can go and buy all the art that they want and support artists directly. But that's not the world that we live in, you know?
Yeah.
So it's, it's the music business tough, man. And we've been doing it as much as we can on our own since the beginning, because that's the only way that we know that it works. We work with some very incredible people and very incredible companies that help us to tour, that help us to have interviews like this. Mm-hmm. And we're like so blessed to have them and to be working with them. And yeah, it's not all bad. And I think that there's this kind of view of like the music industry is this big
global
dragon at the top of a mountain and stuff. You have to somehow, you know, get your way to be there, but it's people like you and me, you know, but it is a business. And sometimes it just doesn't make sense to buy into certain parts of it until it does. And then if that changes, then cool. Like, I don't think there's a, you know, I remember, you know, back in the 90s and early 2000s, it was like, oh, well, they sold out. It's like, no, they're selling things. It's they're doing business.
Yeah.
You know? But as much as we can do it on our own, we're going to keep forging ahead and doing it on our own, building out our team with people that we trust and respect and admire. And we're stoked on the people that we're working with now, and we hope to work with them for many, many years to come.
Yeah.
And just, you know, if everybody wins, then everybody wins, you know?
Yeah. So. Yeah, because as I said before the interview with you this evening, French time for sure, I had a chance to talk with Steve Lukather and Joseph Williams a few months ago, and we talked about the video clips and on YouTube, and their benefits concerning a band like Toto is zero. That's
yeah.
It's hard to believe.
Yeah, I mean, they're Toto's a lot further along than we are, you know, as a band. And I'm so new to the project, and I don't really know anything about how any of that works with them. But for us, it's, you know, with Robert John and the Wreck, it's YouTube, you know, is how we've gotten people to see us. That's how we got connected for these European tours, was off of some YouTube videos that some friends of ours shared with the touring company, you know.
Yes.
And Jam in the Van was how we got hooked up, you know, and noticed for the Joe Bonamassa Keeping the Blues Alive cruises, and getting, and then, you know, now working with Intrepid Artists and stuff for the US. Which we do have a US tour coming up in October, November, which is going to be fun. But yeah, I could see that, where, you know, the impact of views on YouTube for such an established, you know, iconic band such as Toto, like, yeah, it's a drop in a bucket at that point, you know, where for us, it's people are discovering it, you know, every week,
yeah,
I guess. So. But I do love watching the, I've been watching a lot of the live videos
of Toto
lately. And it's fun to look back and see the guys through the years and all the different arrangements and stuff that have gone on the tours. And
yeah, you are very, very, very lucky.
They're rad. Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel very lucky, very honored.
Sure. So my last question for today is, every day is for me a happy song, good music, barbecue and friend. Is that the perfect definition of life for you?
Yeah, maybe not in those words, but yeah, to have great times with loved ones and to be, you know, mostly
every day
worry-free and every day. Like The music video that we put out was reflective of exactly what we wrote the song about, which when we wrote the song, we couldn't do any of that, you know? So it was when we wrote it, it was more of a, you know, cry to be able to get back to that and from a place of missing it and being able to shoot the music video and do it safely this summer was just an amazing experience, and to see friends again, and, you know, that some of them we haven't seen in, you know, a very long time, was very special. And yeah, it's, everybody likes to have a barbecue party, you know?
Sure.
It's fantastic, man. And it was a beautiful day when we filmed it too. So that was, you know, The stars just aligned for that, and that was I feel like you can see the joy in all of our faces, you know. Sure. That was not put on. That was very much real.
Yeah. So, Steve, thanks a lot for your precious time.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me, man.
You're very welcome. I wish you the best for your European tour and in France for sure. Have fun. Stay healthy. Take care.
Thank you very much.
And hope to see you maybe next year with Toto in France.
Yeah, sounds good.
South of France.
Looking forward to it, man. Yeah. It's going to be great. Awesome.
Thanks, Steve. And one more time, take care.
Thank you.
Thanks again. Bye.